as she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can see things the same. Now, don't you wait or hesitate. Let's move.
Pain in the Morning, 7-9, July 9, 2020. Just coming off a episode 31 that we cut loose late on Wednesday. I don't think we finished that thing up till like 9 o'clock at night. So we cut that late. It's 3 o'clock in the morning now, Eastern Standard Time, and we... As the song says, it's all right. It's all right now. It's got the microphone on and ready to do some news, so it's all right. Burning the midnight oil the last 48 hours. It's a busy news week, so that's what happens. Feast and famine, peaks and valleys, just like life. Shout out to everybody on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. Video podcast, Pain of the Morning. Video podcast, More Pain Show. Busy day around here too, taking care of idiots on the internet who are stealing our content. Can't do anything about it. We deal with lawyers and stuff. It's taking videos and it's ridiculous. Do what you got to do. It's one thing after another. Such a lousy industry, but we'll talk about that some other time. There's a lot of other things to talk about. If you haven't checked out episode 31 of the Thomas Paine podcast, the one that we released late, we're holding it because there's breaking news coming in and we're tying up some loose ends. The title of that one is Top Medical Insider from Massive Healthcare System Blows the Roof Off COVID-19 Scamdemic. Internal numbers are all rigged for profit, greed, and politics and social justice. Alarming. Plus breaking FBI intel on Ghislaine Maxwell, and Epstein. So check that out. Again, that probably was appears in your podcast platform about 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time last night. So a late start, but we got it done, and it's not a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. All you young bucks out there can keep sprinting around and racing around. Us older folks, we've already done that trip. And you find out there's not much sense to doing it in the first place once you get on the other side. So you just kind of, we'll do the best we can. We got a small group here. We'll get it done when it's done. Maybe with additional support that we're getting on those platforms where people can benefit us directly because we're not funded by millionaires, billionaires, all these other people, foreign actors, anti-Chinese, defrock Chinese. They're all over the map, these people, in the right-wing media. It's sad. But that's another topic for another day as well. Let's move in here into the news. Speaking of maniacs, there's no shortage, and it's unfortunate. Seems like I was just on this mic doing the podcast 31, episode 31. We're coming up. That's our main 31 is our main big Wednesday show. It's our 31st big Wednesday show. We're coming up on 100 shows total. I think we're at about 95. Thomas Paine podcast since we started. So maybe we'll do something for the 100th episode. Maybe we won't. Maybe it won't even bring it up again. Who knows? Another good podcast this morning. Pain in the Morning is doing very well. And I don't say this often, but that episode 31 was the insider from the massive healthcare system. Share that sucker. There's some alarming things in that. Alarming. And it really rounds out a lot of the other reporting that we've done on COVID-19 since this whole fucking thing started. Remember 15 days we're supposed to sit around for flatten the curve? Now we're, 150 days. You know what would be good if you really want to flatten the curve would be to quarantine the media for 120 days. I would take a couple months off. But we're not really the problem down here. We're talking about the major media. Quarantine the major media for 90 days and watch the mood and the overall attitude of the country improve tremendously. I would guarantee it. So what we got here? Ilhan Omar calls for dismantling America's system of oppression. Yeah, you've been here long enough, right, lady? The fuck do you know about America's system of oppression? You just got here. I was being oppressed decades before you were even born. Shut the hell up. Representative Ilhan Omar called for dismantling economic and political systems that serve as a system of oppression. We can't stop at criminal justice reform or police reform, she said during an outdoor press conference. We are merely fighting to tear down the systems of oppression in the criminal justice system. We are fighting to tear down systems of oppression that exist in housing, in education, in healthcare, in employment, in the air we breathe. Maybe she hasn't read the news lately. We're fighting to get out of the house. We're fighting to be able to buy groceries. We're fighting for oxygen because we have to wear a fucking diaper on our face to go outside. That's what we're fighting for. I think Ilhan Omar missed the 1960s because she wasn't here. We've already done this trip. Omar said it was time to guarantee homes for all. Yeah, I agree. Tell that to my fucking mortgage company. Due to racial disparities in homeownership. Racial disparities in homeownership. Was she even here in 2008 when the stock market crashed? I don't even think this bird brain was here. Was she? The entire financial system almost crashed because of imbalances and loans that were made thanks to President Clinton's Community Lending Act, where they would give people a $500,000 house even if they didn't have a job. Again, she missed that whole our country almost collapsed. She came barreling in and she's obviously getting her history from a Bazooka Joe fucking comic strip. Came with her gum. We tried that guarantee homes for all. It almost ruined the entire country. She said that homeownership rates are nearly twice as high for white families as they are for black families. Wouldn't that be because there are more white families in America? I mean, like the African American population is 13%. So, yeah, that math checks out. That's why there would be more white families owning homes than there would be black families. It's simple mathematics. It has nothing to do with the race. It has to do with slide rule. Somebody get this bird brain an abacus. She also promoted the Green New Deal because we know that environmental racism is real. Yeah, it is. I went outside today. I looked at some of my plants and my shrubs. I could tell they hated me because I was white. As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. Is she even a citizen? Seriously. Has that been ironed out yet with the FBI? Oh, I forgot. They don't investigate anybody in Congress. Mm-hmm. She was a member of the squad. Remember these four idiots? The Wonder Squad, the Wonder Quad. So we cannot stop at the criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it. I think, to me, those remarks come off as racist. I'm not being a wise ass. They really do. They're not based on any facts. They're rooted in stereotypes that play into the various stereotypes she would be trying to battle if she had a brain. It's an insult. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee called on Omar to resign over her remarks. Ilhan Omar took an oath to defend and protect the Constitution, not shred it. The question is, the Constitution of which country? Omar and her Marxist comrades are a threat to our democracy. Omar should resign. I agree with that. She won't, though. She won't. Too many people, too many important puppet masters went to too much trouble to put her there. New headline. We're going to roll through this stuff because it's been a long day. And socialist Seattle council member vows to replace capitalism with socialism worldwide. This is a real bird brain. Another. What is going on in Seattle? You probably don't want to know. Let me get a drink and enjoy a little wailing. Things a socialist would do. An avowed socialist member of the Seattle City Council has issued a video statement threatening anyone, particularly Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who tries to stand in the way of the agenda of working people and vowing to replace the rotten system of capitalism with socialism worldwide. I wonder if this person's in the Oprah's book club with Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar. Omar Ilhan. She's got like six aliases, by the way, so I can just keep throwing names out, variations of her name. She's used them all on credit applications and everything else. If you look at her paperwork, it's scary. City Journal's Christopher Rufo posted footage of Seattle City Councilwoman Kashana Sawant. I think this is the woman who doxed the mayor of Seattle for the press. And not so much for the press, but for a bunch of folks in the street. A bunch of street vagrants and varmints. I went to the mayor's house after this communist gave out her address. She delivered what she called an unhinged rant following the passage of the city's so-called Amazon tax on Monday, a progressive scheme targeting major businesses. And we all got to pay tax now. The Amazon, right? Not everybody, not every state, but most states are charging tax and sales tax and everything else. Sawant, these people are bird brains. You get taxed at every turn. I'm with you. We get taxed too much, but talk about biting the hand that feeds you, Amazon and Washington State. You gonna take them on? How much do they pay you guys? What are your ratables, your tax ratables? Just shut up and learn how the economy works. Right, Waylon? These people have always been crazy. In the video, Sawant directly attacks Bezos, whose company pushed back against a similar initiative in 2008, saying, "I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class." Okay, so it's a message for three people. Those are the only people in Bezos' class. If you attempt to, again, overturn the Amazon tax, working people will go all out in the thousands to defeat you, and we will not stop there. You know, thousands of working people will prepare to defeat Jeff Bezos by buying things on Amazon that they need to defeat Jeff Bezos. Is this like one of the classes in Dystopia 101 or Despot 101? Make threatening videos no one listens to. I will make virus video. This video will go virus on internet. We will not stop there when we try to defeat you. Okay. Indeed, Sawant did not stop there with her threat to Bezos and his class. She pledged to take down capitalism globally and replace it with socialism, saying, "You see, we are fighting." I have to do my change voices here, although it's kind of late. You see, we're fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us and our modest demands, then so be it. But we are coming for you and your rotten system. We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism. This police state. We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it and replace it with a world based instead on solidarity, genuine democracy, and equality. A socialist world. Thank you. Yeah, good luck taking Bezos down. He's bigger than the federal government. They're all kissing his ass. Didn't these bird brains in Seattle try this already for like 7 weeks? In Seattle, they tried their utopian rainbow unicorn society, and people ended up shot and dead, including African Americans, when they were flying this so-called, whatever the hell it was called, beatnik, hippie, vagrant, gutter snipe society was flying under the Black Lives Matter flag, and what really seemed to matter were the black kids were killed. They've already tried this. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. So, you can give any idiot a megaphone, but eventually the batteries run out, and then they can't afford to buy new ones. So this is where we're at with this broad. Sawant, apparently emboldened by the passage of the Amazon tax she had been pushing for years, drew the ire of Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan last week. Like I said, she doxed Durkan. And I'll tell you what, these people are dangerous. So I would be worried about them, and lucky for us, they are largely incompetent and lifelong losers. As they have proven in the last 2 months. Trump didn't even have to do anything. DC was like, you know what, just let this summer camp of varmints have their little couple weeks of camp and watch it all implode, and it did. And then you can sit back and say, hey, we gave you idiots a chance to see what you could do, and you did exactly what we thought you would do, defecate in the street and shoot each other while destroying a city and harassing people. Headline, why did Joe Biden call police the enemy? What do you got for Biden? We'll play the police. Play some police. I am parched. Another quick drink here. On Wednesday, amid riots following the horrific police killing of George Floyd, presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden said that the police become the enemy when they use surplus military equipment. He also supported some version of Black Lives Matter push to defund the police. Joe, every police department has military equipment. What are you talking about? All of them have been militarized. Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that, Biden said in an interview. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy, Biden added. They're supposed to be protecting these people. Hey, tell me about it. Wait till they come to your house with guns, Joe. You'll feel even worse about it. He called for various reforms to policing, including a federal database to monitor bad actors so they cannot move from one police station to another. What? I guess he's talking about bad cops. This kind of proposal features in both Republican and Democratic police reform bills in Congress right now. Okay, so he's talking about cops. The federal government is right to go in and change systematically what's going on. He said, yeah, that's just what we need, Joe. More federal power. Yikes. King of Pain is right. P-A-I-N. Not P-A-I-N-E. Headline, Ron Paul, is this Texan COVID spike fake news? Oh, Ron Paul checking in. Check that out. Haven't heard from Ron Paul in a while. COVID spike, Texas government. They got us under their thumb. So that's what we'll go with. On July 2nd, Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order mandating the wearing of face masks across the state, whether indoors or outdoors. This is a disgrace for Texas. This really is. This guy Abbott has gone haywire. In the governor's decree, he cited a rise in COVID cases, a rise in test positivity, and a rise in hospitalizations as justification to force people to cover their faces in public. The move is not only a violation of the civil liberties of all Texans. Abbott may have based his executive order on inaccurate information about a rise in COVID cases due to the Texas State Department of Health Services changing the definition of what constitutes a COVID case. Thanks goes to Collin County Judge Chris Hill for blowing the whistle on what appears to be a move in mid-May to redefine what was a COVID case to open the door to a massive increase. All to match the mainstream media line that a second wave was on the way. As a sidebar, episode 31 of the Thomas Paine podcast that came out last night, we covered this pretty much in very, very detail. Much in many details. In a commissioner's court hearing for Collin County on May 18th, it was revealed that while previously the determination of a COVID case was a confirmed test result, that definition was suddenly changed to count probable cases. Oh, that's nice. At the same time, the threshold for determining probable was lowered to a ridiculous level. See how this what's going on here? Anybody with a pulse is potentially a COVID victim. You, sir, on the street. You look like you're breaking quite a sweat there. You have COVID. Put him down for COVID. As Judge Hill said at his hearing, if you have a subjective fever and you have a headache and you live in Collin County, you now meet the qualifications to be a probable COVID patient. It's remarkable how low the standard is. It's almost lower than the standard of becoming a government employee in places like the CDC and the FDA and the NIH. All you need is a pulse. So maybe that's what they're basing it on. Their coworkers who are brain dead. These zombies. Even worse, check this out. Even worse, once a probable case was determined based on possibly unrelated subjective criteria, up to 15 people in possible contact with that probable case were also listed as probable cases, and probable cases were considered cases. This is how the numbers get jacked up. It's fake math. It's junk math. It's junk science. So if they say, hey, I think you got COVID, buddy, based on these slipshod, piss poor criteria, and then they check your phone and everything and say, the last 15 people you came in contact, they probably have it too. And then they do the same thing. They take those 15, each one of those 15 people, then they pick 15 and 15. Before you know it, you got millions of cases, millions and millions of cases of COVID, and you've never actually tested for them. And then that jacks the numbers up. And then people can say, we're having a second wave. I told you guys. No, you're not. You're fucking concocting another bullshit narrative to pretend that there's a second wave. Also, Governor Abbott's claim that hospitals were being overrun by COVID patients was refuted by the hospital directors themselves, who said they were nowhere near actual capacity and, in fact, were about the same level as they were last year. Sounds like somebody got to Governor Abbott. Said, pal, you better shape up, pal. You'll be the next guy with COVID. Start spewing the company line here. You're going to find yourself in big trouble. Because that guy changed on a dime, just like a lot of people in D.C. Across the country, COVID testing increased from about 150,000 to more than 700,000 per day. You can't drive through Houston without seeing a flurry of signs advertising free COVID test results in 15 minutes. Wow. It's like when you used to walk around Baltimore and on the block and Times Square and New York City when you were an adolescent. Come on in. We got live girls. Come on in. Live women. We got free COVID test, boys. Come on in. It only takes 15 minutes. We'll get you all patched up. Last week, Reuters reported that the tests shipped around the country by the federal government were contaminated. That should cut down the 15-minute time wait, right? If they're contaminated, you should know within 10 seconds. If you take a test and it turns into a balloon animal, it's probably not working right. The CDC, this is more stupidity and fecklessness brought to you by the CDC, who license these tests and make sure that they're working when they're shipped. And then suddenly, after they reach their destination, they're flawed. Deaths from coronavirus, even the deaths with coronavirus rather than deaths from coronavirus, are down more than 90% since the peak in April. That's nationally. Somebody tell that to that weirdo Abbott, who apparently was sucked up by a spaceship in recent weeks and changed his whole tune. He was all about Texas strong and don't mess with Texas. Don't tread on me. And now the guy's like a fucking jellyfish. Somebody's paying these guys. Promising to pay him. That's what happens when you sell your soul in politics. Don't be too surprised when your favorite trading card politicians sell their souls. That's why they got into the business. They have the personality for it. That's why they're there. Not too many good people and honest people in that business. Next headline, shootings skyrocketed more than 200% in New York City just weeks after the NYPD disbands its anti-crime unit. What do we got? How about a little Warren Zevon? Lawyers, guns, and shanty Irish commissioners. There's shootings in New York City. A shanty Mick. Shootings in New York City have skyrocketed more than 200% in recent weeks as a violent crime wave grips the nation's largest city, according to The Post. Citing police stats, there were three times as many shootings in the Big Apple during the last 2 weeks of June as during the same time period last year. There are 116 shooting incidents between June 15th and July 2nd of this year, compared to just 38 last year at the same time. In total, 157 New Yorkers were injured from gunfire during that time frame in the last couple weeks, and compared to the same time frame last year, 57 people injured from gunfire. Yeah, there's some innocent bystanders getting gunned down. According to NYPD last month, it was the deadliest and most violent June in 24 years, recording a total of 205 shooting incidents over the entire month. That doesn't include the street riots and the mayhem and the vandalism and the burning of police cars and people getting their ass whooped in non-gunfire, non-gun-related crime, which had to be through the roof as well. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio blamed the soaring violence on the coronavirus. These guys are fucking so stupid. This is directly related to the coronavirus, de Blasio said Monday on Fox. What's he doing on Fox? This is a very serious situation as we're getting into warmer and warmer weather. Asshole, it's 95 motherfucking degrees. You get into any warmer weather, you're going to be hanging out with John McCain at the gates of hell. We're feeling the effects of people being cooped up for months. The economy hasn't restarted. We have a real problem here because you haven't opened up your city, you dumbass. How much hotter does this dummy think it's going to get? 5 more degrees and it's 100. Just wait till it gets to 160 degrees. We're really going to have a problem. You can't even. Oh, man. Sometimes it's worth, I would think, the feedback I get from people watching the video podcast of just me coming unglued and the nonverbal cues I'm told are interesting. I don't talk into a mirror, so I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just taking the feedback and returning it your way. So, new headline, 80% of New York City restaurants couldn't afford June rent. Yeah, it's hard to get people to eat when there's, you know, you have to dodge gunfire like you're trying to meet a lunch date in Beirut in 1984. A little song dedicated to New York City residents by the Animals, appropriately named. The majority of restaurant owners around the city did not pay their entire rent in June, with 36% skipping out on it altogether, as the coronavirus pandemic continues to make it harder for eateries to survive. Not if you're serving up a lead salad in the street. The nonprofit New York City Hospitality Alliance surveyed 509 restaurateurs around the city and found 4 out of 5 didn't pay the full June rent. And of those, 90% said they paid half or less than last month. As the report further notes, the survey also found that landlords have been unwilling to give restaurants a break. 60% of restaurant owners said their landlords refused to give them deferments during the pandemic. Only 10% were able to negotiate their leases. Wow. Tell my friends in New York there is a better life for them, and they got to get out of that place. I think it's starting to resonate with folks. In total, 73% of landlords, also under economic stress, refused to waive rent payments for the restaurants, bars, and clubs in June, the poll found. What are you going to do, though? You're going to kick these people out? How are you going to get new tenants in? You think people are going to be beating down the doors to lease property in New York or anywhere else? The vicious cycle. We haven't even seen the after effects and the aftershocks, the blowback from this cycle. I said we'd see it in September, August and September, when it came time to pay mortgages. You're going to see massive foreclosures. You're going to see massive evictions. And this is, we're leading up to this. As I said this months ago, this will become a pre-election issue. If you're worried about the election, I think most people are just worried about getting out of July. So I would anticipate seeing this grow into a timely debate, and you'll see more content on it here and other places as well. And you could say, hey, Payne said this like months ago. Guy must know what he's talking about. I don't know. Headline, New York Times columnist urges Biden not to debate Trump unless the president agrees to two conditions. Is this the... Okay. What do we got for Biden? End of the line. You guys remember the Traveling Wilburys? All-star selection? Collection and selection. Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. That sounds like George Harrison to me, but I guess he was in that group, right? Sounds like his voice. To check on that, you folks out there will check on and email me. People are good on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. I get all kinds of messages. I try to return as many as I can, but I don't get to everything, depending on the news hole. That's slang for the news volume. Now, your place is a news hole. I agree. That's the first smart thing he said all day, Mildred. This guy. So, I always like to try to learn as we prep for every show a little bit every day about music, who's doing what, who's in what group, that kind of stuff. Try to learn something new every day, right? That's what you do. A New York Times columnist, Thomas Friedman, is urging Joe Biden not to participate in the 3 upcoming debates with President Trump unless the president agrees to 2 conditions. Friedman has proposed. Pardon me for asking, Friedman, who the fuck are you and why the fuck should we care what the fuck you fucking say? Just a little editorializing there. I worry about Joe Biden debating Donald Trump. He should do it only under 2 conditions. Otherwise, he's giving Trump unfair advantages. Friedman began his column Tuesday evening. I literally thought Friedman was dead. I haven't heard from this guy, or he hasn't done anything of note in a long time. And this proves it. He coughed, Mildred. He's got the virus. Friedman said the condition should be that Trump must release his tax returns from 2006 to 2018. And that both campaigns should agree on having real-time fact-checking team hired by the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates. I'm sure that won't be biased. Wouldn't it be more advantageous to get Trump's tax returns if you were on the other side previous to when he became president? That would probably be better. 2016 to 2018, he's drawing a, what, $400,000 salary, and his investments are in a blind trust? What's that going to... What the fuck is that going to... And he's had divested himself? Friedman doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. If you were working an intel op against Trump, you'd want to see his taxes before he became president. Not when he was president. You think Trump is day trading in the White House? Friedman. Another textbook idiot who can't even feel his way around a news story. Friedman said, and plus the what's this guy talking about? The Supreme Court's going to rule on the taxes today. This guy is like a dope, Friedman. I don't even know why we're... Well, they prepped it, so I'll read it. The columnist suggested 10 minutes before the scheduled conclusion of the debate, the team report on any misleading statements, phony numbers, or outright lies either candidate had uttered. Oh, okay. The media is going to figure out. The media, who spends the entire night asking loaded questions based on lies, is going to figure and be able to decipher who was lying. Get the fuck out of here. That way, no one in that massive television audience can go away easily misled. You know, it's funny. Friedman actually thinks that people are going to be swayed by a TV debate. People's minds are made up before they turn that television on, whether they realize it or not. And if you are swayed by a television debate, you're a fucking dummy. That means anything with smoke and mirrors, camera tricks, parlor tricks, theatrics is enough to sway your political philosophies. What are your political philosophies made out of? Paper mache? Rice paper? Is that racist? I could say rice paper, right? I'll have to check that. Hold on. Check with the judges. Rice paper? Yep. Yeah, judges said they'll accept it. Mm-hmm. Got my podcast Trebek in the corner. I check on anything borderline, and podcast Trebek tells me. 10 minutes. These dopes are going to ferret out lies in the last 10 minutes. These guys haven't ferreted out lies told by Democrats in 10 fucking decades. Fuck out of here, Friedman, you weirdo. Done listening to your sorry ass. New York. We'll skip on that. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. Masks are now required outdoors. I have a new house song for Governor Murphy. He's Irish, and cranberries are Irish. And he's a fucking zombie, so it's... So are most of the Democrats in Jersey. Believe me, I covered the goddamn governor's office when I was a kid. I guess I was mid-20s. They put me down in the state house to cause trouble in the attorney general's office and the governor's office. And that's what I did. You guys think this is all new? I've been doing this for fucking decades. I've been causing trouble getting in people's faces since I was a kid. I got thrown out of my first college for writing a newspaper column. How old was I? 19? Yeah. I've been throwing throat punches for decades. And there's no end in sight, by the way. Individuals in New Jersey will now be required to wear masks outdoors in situations where social distancing is not feasible, Governor Phil Murphy announced on Wednesday. We have to take this step, said Murphy. We've gone through hell in New Jersey. We've lost 13,000 people. We've brought our numbers down, but we can't go through this hell again. The only fucking hell that Jersey's gone through is a similar hell that Pennsylvania and New York went through, okay? Because these idiots put COVID-19 patients in long-term care facilities and nursing homes. That's worth like 7,000 of the 13,000 people that can be traced directly to these fucking killers. Governors running death camps. Not states. They were running death camps. Jack up the numbers. I'm convinced of it. If I was attorney general, these sons of bitches would be on the hot seat. They wouldn't be on CNN running their fucking yaps. Tell you that. Requiring masks outdoors is a step I had hoped we would not have to take. Yeah, bullshit. This guy's got masks all over the place. He's been waiting for this his whole life, this fucking tyrant. By and large, New Jerseyans have been outstanding in their compliance. Yeah, because they can't leave the fucking house. At one point, you weren't allowed to drive on the road. Anyone driving is going to be arrested. Pretty easy to comply when they threaten you with imprisonment. But unfortunately, we've been seeing a backslide in compliance in New Jersey and across our nation. How dare these bastards think that they could leave the house in the summer? Hey, Murphy, there's this thing to the east that's called the fucking ocean. People might want to use it in the beaches when it gets hot out. Call your bird brain buddy de Blasio. He thinks it's going to be 160 degrees out. Maybe you guys can pitch in on some SPF 600 for your pale asses. Oh, my God. I'm more relaxed tonight than I usually am reading this stuff. And it's just funny. If you can just take a step back and I don't know why. They probably am a little tired. But it's so absurd. It's almost like you're not. It's almost like you're reading a book. Maybe like you're in high school and they handed you 1984 or Animal Farm or something like that. Or Brave New World from Huxley. And you're like, what the fuck is this? This stuff's crazy. Except every day is Animal Farm. Every day is 1984. Every day is Huxley. And so forth and so on. Pick your favorite dystopian timepiece author and fill in the blanks. It's really, like I said, it's almost surreal to be reading this to you folks and commenting on it. It's like some nights it feels like you're not even in your own body. You're just like, is this what's really happening? How did all this go downhill so fast? There are limited exceptions to Murphy's order. Those under the age of 2 are exempt. Well, that's nice. You don't want to choke out a kid who's 2. We wanted those little bastards to wear masks, but they have a problem breathing, and that could create problems. It didn't stop you from choking out old people. Individuals are not required to wear a mask when eating or drinking at an outdoor restaurant. Well, that's nice. I've always found that as early as the appetizer servings, if you get some. Maybe some fried calamari. It doesn't taste the same with a cotton mask. in your mouth. So eating with the mask off is usually a good idea. I wouldn't put drinking with the mask off past people. I see people driving around with their mask on all by themselves. That's an interesting thing. Those people are beyond hope. They're coming fresh off Y2K, where they loaded up their... Is that food in the basement from Y2K still good? No? God damn it. There's also an exemption in it and an exception for instances where wearing a mask would inhibit health or safety. Well, that's nice. I guess so. If you have to give somebody CPR, you don't have to wear a mask and they don't have to wear a mask. That's good. That would probably inhibit the ability to give somebody CPR.
Oh, we didn't write that in. God damn it. Get that thing back here. We have to put that in. That's a bad idea. We don't want these people having direct contact, even if it means life or death.
Murphy adamantly defended his decision to require masks outdoors on social media, declaring that it is not about politics, but about showing others that you care about their health. Really? Is that what it's about? If other people are wearing masks and it works, what are you worried whether I'm wearing a mask or not? If your mask works, the fuck do you care about my mask? If your mask is so damn good at stopping microbes and microorganisms, what are you worried about me? That's why you got the mask on. You should do a study and see. A trend I'm noticing is a lot of folks are saying a lot of cases are up because people are wearing masks. They're creating problems for themselves. You understand? They're creating problems for themselves. The masks are bad for you. Now, this encapsulates the bird brain party line of these criminals. They always use this. It has no scientific fact basis, but they always use it. This is one of their talking points. Cuomo is one of his favorites too, and they pivot off this. They change it around as time goes on, but it's nonetheless their static go-to. Coronavirus doesn't care what political party you belong to, he said in another post, adding, it doesn't care what you may or may not think about masking up. Masking up. That's what Chris Christie used to do to get into his bathing suit. It doesn't care about you or your family. It just wants to kill you and move on to the next victim. It does care if you wear a mask. Period. Full stop. I think he spelled governors wrong. Instead of coronavirus, let's rewrite that for the governor. Instead of coronavirus, we'll put in the, let's see. Mayors of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania don't care what political party you belong to. They don't care what you may or may not think about masking up. They don't care about you or your family. They just want to kill you and move on to the next victim. That seems to read better. I don't know. The governor also bluntly stated that not wearing a mask is an act of selfishness. Yeah, okay, pal. Right? So is stealing money every goddamn minute from taxpayers to fund your stupid programs, your bloated budgets, and all your pork barrel projects. Now, that seems far more selfish. And then also ruining the country based on a twisted political ideology. That seems a lot more selfish than somebody not wearing a mask. Listen to this fucking psychopath. These guys are crazy. You understand? They're crazy. You can't reason with them. They're nuts. Not wearing a mask is a sign that you think you're invincible. And damn everyone else. The time for selfishness ended back in March. Really? Yeah, we're invincible. We're sitting in our houses. Everybody's wearing capes. Sitting in their houses. Unfortunately, they're also wearing pajamas because they don't have jobs. Thanks to idiots like Murphy. Fucking clowns. Where you at? 55? All right. Went on a nice song. Nice mellow song. After listening to these, an hour of assholes and losers, we'll try to wind it down again. Shout out to the folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit. We thank you for watching the video podcast and supporting us directly. It's a great way to help us out, keep the lights on. We don't have millionaires and billionaires funding us, and I keep saying that because it's true. And the only people we have funding us is you. That kind of rhymes. I might have to clip that and remember that. Remember that. So we'll see you again, Pain in the Morning, tomorrow, Friday. If you get a chance, check out episode 31 we dropped last night and share it. I don't say that enough. I guess I should say that. I'll work on that as time goes on. As I say at the end of every show, take care and God bless.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
Give back it
hard. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
If they'd have mercy,
don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not grieving.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free. I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever. Yes, and for always.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard.
Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Here is the lock and laughter, the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard.
Will you come see me? Thursdays and Saturdays.
Hey, hey, hey.
What have you got to lose?
Chestnut, brown, canary, ruby-throated sparrow, sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the marrow.
Voices of the angel ring around the moonlight, asking me, said she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow?
Lilting lyric, losing love, lamente.
Change my life, make it right, be my lady.
Do do do.